May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the phrase, "There's an elephant in the room." In case you're not, essentially it means when something is painfully obvious to everyone, but no one wants to talk about it. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is a lot like the elephant in the room. He appears in flesh and blood to his disciples, and the whole time that Jesus is with them, none of the disciples are recorded as speaking. In some ways, they are afraid to acknowledge Jesus' presence with them. They all know that Jesus is standing in the room with them, but no one wants to talk about it. Even once their fear subsides and they experience joy at seeing the risen Lord, in some ways they are still in disbelief, and they do not acknowledge his presence by speaking to him. I've always found this story a little strange. The disciples finally speak when Jesus is carried back up to heaven, and then they worship him. Why would they not have worshipped him when he was with them in the flesh and blood? Why don't the disciples ask Jesus any questions, or even speak to one another? After all, he told them before he died that 3 days he would rise again. They knew it was coming, so why don't they speak to him? Because Jesus is the elephant in the room, and no one wants to talk about it. Jesus, in his attempt to show the disciples that it's really him, even goes as far as to ask them for something to eat. Jesus makes this very human request to help put the disciples at ease, and not because Jesus skipped lunch. He wants to demonstrate to them that he is indeed not a ghost as they originally thought. Jesus has returned to visit them because he has some important information for them. Jesus has come to show the disciples how everything written about him in the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and the Psalms has been fulfilled. The Gospel tells us that Jesus also opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Finally, after Jesus has died and risen from the dead, the disciples get it. They finally understand what the Scriptures are about, so that they can share and proclaim the good news with others to carry out the teachings of Jesus. Jesus tells them that repentance and the forgiveness of sins are to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and that just as he promised, he would send them a helper in the form of the Holy Spirit, which was still to come. The disciples were being given a big responsibility. Jesus had plans for them, and they were going to carry out his ministry. The teachings of love and the forgiveness of sins would continue to be spread throughout the world. These activities are recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, and throughout the Easter season, we'll hear some of those stories and be invited into the ministry of the disciples. Whether we like to admit it or not, in many ways, we have the same experience of the elephant in the room as the disciples did. Jesus hasn't appeared to us in the flesh and blood, but we know he's there guiding us, loving us, and showing us the way. He is always present with us. But for some reason, we're afraid to talk about it, and we would rather pretend that there's nothing there, especially when we're with friends or coworkers, and even family. But sometimes, even when we're with other Christians, it's still something that we'd rather not discuss. Why is that? Why are we afraid to acknowledge that Jesus is present with us? That he has a place in our lives and in our hearts? Are we afraid of getting laughed at or made fun of? Are we worried about offending someone who might not share our beliefs? Or do we doubt that Jesus really is present in our lives, just like the disciples were in disbelief that Jesus had appeared to them? Perhaps it's a combination of these questions, or maybe it's another reason entirely. I'm not sure what makes it so hard to talk about the elephant in the room and speak about Jesus. But just like the disciples were tasked with sharing the good news to all nations, we too are given this task. Jesus promised that he would send the disciples a helper to carry out this mission. And we can be assured that through our baptism in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we too are given assistance in carrying out this task. We are given the gifts of the Holy Spirit and welcomed into a community of faith. And in turn, we are given the special task of sharing that faith with others, with telling others about the amazing things that Jesus Christ has done for us. The sharing of the good news is at the heart of the Christian faith, and was the first thing that Jesus told his disciples to do when he reappeared to them after his resurrection. They were being sent out to build the church and bring people to the love of God. Jesus wanted people to know that his crucifixion was necessary so that their sins could be forgiven. Jesus' love for humanity knew no limits, and he was willing to die for our salvation. Jesus wants the disciples to understand this love so that they can share that love with others. This love is for us too and for all people. That's why we need to share Jesus with those around us. We can't ignore the elephant in the room. We need to talk about Jesus and acknowledge his presence in our lives and in our world. The saving power of Jesus is a force to be reckoned with, and the divine helper, the Holy Spirit, is always with us to assist us in spreading that good news. In our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we see Peter spreading this message of love and repentance to the people and speaking to the Israelites. Peter had just healed a crippled beggar, and all the people were astonished at this miracle. Peter chastises them a little bit for thinking that he himself has the power to make a man walk. Peter tells them that faith in God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is what is necessary. Peter says, "But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you." Peter wants the crowd to know that Jesus, the one whom they put to death, is the way to life. Jesus died and was raised from the dead by God, just as God planned. Peter tells the crowd that he himself has seen this, and that it is through faith in his name that this man was healed. This man that the crowds knew to be crippled was now strong and in perfect health because of the power of Jesus, not because of the power of Peter. Peter then acknowledges that he knows they acted in ignorance when Jesus was put to death, as did their leaders, and that it was in order to fulfill what was written in the scripture about the Messiah suffering that this had to happen. Jesus had to be put to death in order for God's plan to be carried out. The Israelites are instructed to repent from their ways and turn to God, so that they can be forgiven and their sins be wiped out. This message that Peter brings to them is exactly what Jesus instructed the disciples to do in our gospel reading when he appeared to them. They were to spread the good news of love and the forgiveness of sins. The story of Peter healing the beggar is only the beginning of the many wonderful works that the disciples would go on to do in Jesus' name. These works not only pointed to Jesus and his sacrifice, but also helped to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. They helped to spread Jesus' message of love, which included mercy and justice for all. Jesus spent his time with the marginalized, the outcasts, and the sinner. He came to transform the hearts of humanity. He came to heal and make whole, to make his Father known, and to change the ways of the wicked. Jesus knew that everyone was made in God's image, and he worked to raise up those who were persecuted. He healed those who were ill, releasing them from their stigmas. He forgave sins and told people to go and love and sin no more. He was bringing about the kingdom of God, and his disciples were tasked with continuing that work after he ascended to his Father. Peter knew that by healing the beggar, he would be releasing him not only from his physical infirmity, but also from the social stigma attached to it, and the need to beg, since he would have been unable to work. By healing this man, Peter has made him whole again in ways that cannot be seen. Jesus is explicit in these healings, even though Jesus himself isn't present. After Jesus opened the disciples' minds to the scriptures, the elephant in the room disappeared. The disciples realized that in order to carry out their mission, Jesus would have to be front and center in all they did. It would only be by faith in his name that they would have the power to spread the good news, to heal the afflicted, cast out demons, and share the forgiveness of sins. As we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Easter, may we too be affected by the risen Christ and have our minds opened to the kingdom of God. May we keep Jesus front and center in all that we do, banishing the elephant in the room. And like Peter, have faith in the name of Jesus to change lives, to change our own lives. May God grant that we find it so. Amen.